great question from True Beatle People, which, by the way, again, is a name I love, having grown up as a Beatles fan, Ringo Starr, drummer, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, love that. But the question came up, basically, the kernel of the question was a large comment and a long one to read. So let me just kind of boil it down. Essentially, it was, what do I do to share the gospel today? Like, how do I make the gospel known today? Do I do a podcast? Do I do this, that, or some other thing? Like, what? How do I go about it? First off, I love that question because it demonstrates a desire to make the gospel known, and that's something we want to be about. There ought to be a desire within believers to see other people outside the faith come to put their trust in Christ and be saved. And so, that's awesome. And I do actually have some thoughts on how do we share the gospel? How do we make Christ known to the world around us? You know, first off, let me start with something really, really basic and simple and fundamental. But something that, you know, unfortunately, probably does need to be reiterated from time to time. And that is to make sure that we know what the gospel is and what it isn't. The gospel is a message of God's grace toward the sinner who by faith receives the finished work of Christ appropriated to us. In other words, Christ did all the work. Jesus went to the cross, paid for all of our sin, past, present, and future. And because he did that, we are now reconciled to him. This is not a matter of our personal efforts. Matter of fact, in Romans 4:5, Paul makes a distinction between believing and working. And so faith is not a work. And so therefore, again, when we read passages like Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We understand more fully what Paul means when he says in Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died needlessly or for nothing. So we need to understand what the gospel is. What it isn't is just a set of do's and don'ts that if we can modify our behavior through following these commandments and such, that we will sort of somehow achieve a level of righteousness where we will become acceptable enough to God to know that we're going to heaven, or at least to hope we're going to heaven. That's not the gospel. That's not what we should be portraying. That's not what we should be sharing. That's not what the kind of thing we should be leaving people with. John says in his first letter, these things we have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The idea is that a believer is somebody who can know with certainty that they have eternal life. And the only way we can know that for sure certainly is not if we earn it or we somehow achieve a level of righteousness that we think is sufficient, we hope is sufficient. No, there's no security in that. There's no knowledge. There's no knowledge that we have, possession presently and that kind of thing. That can't possibly come through our efforts because we are always having highs and lows and we can never know for sure. It must be contingent upon something else, and it is. It's contingent upon the finished work of Christ. When Jesus said on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished," he was speaking of the debt that we owed that he paid. In its entirety, past, present, future, there is nothing left to pay because he has paid it all. It is paid in full. And so when we share the gospel, we have to make sure that we know it, that we believe it, and that also we share that accurately, appropriately, and not leave people thinking that if they can just do the right things or enough of the right things, that they can sort of cross the line and get to the pearly gates, as it were, and make a case for why they should be there. None of us has any case to make as to why we should be there, except if I could borrow from Alistair Begg, I find myself quoting him a bit lately, great teacher, and his wonderful presentation of the thief on the cross, who when he got to heaven and he was standing there, they were looking at him and saying, you know, essentially, why on earth are you here? How did you get here and all this? And he basically said, look, I don't really have any idea how I got here except to say that the man on the cross in the middle said I could come. Wow. That is it. That's it. It's all Jesus. And so it's important that we fundamentally, first and foremost, know, believe, and then therefore share the gospel accurately. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are positionally a brand new person in Christ when you come to faith. And you are now a born-again believer. You are no longer lost in darkness and dead in sin. You are brought into the light of God's of salvation, of grace. You are now alive in Christ. And so that's foundational. But once we've settled that issue, once we understand, know that, and we want to know how do we then share this awe-inspiring, life-giving, eternity-altering message, there are a number of practical things we can do. Now, True Beetle people ask, well, do I start a podcast or what do I do? Hey, it's a great idea to start a podcast. I mean, I'm very thankful for the reach that we as a fellowship have gained a little bit by virtue of just posting these little things on YouTube. So I'm thankful for that. But I would say, just to speak practically to some of the nuts and bolts of that, while it doesn't take a lot to produce a podcast that is of reasonably good quality, this particular post notwithstanding, as I'm just talking in my phone in the car while I'm driving, but when I'm at home, I have a basic microphone that plugs into my phone, and that's all that goes into it. I've got it on a stand, and I've got room for my Bible, and that's basically all that goes into the producing, quote-unquote, of this podcast. Some people get very, very elaborate and have wonderfully, beautifully done and great-sounding podcasts, great video, and all that kind of thing. But it doesn't require a lot to really put something on the internet. The cost of entry to do a podcast on YouTube is virtually nothing. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to all of a sudden have lots of people listening to you or watching you quickly. We've gotten a bit of reach, but it's taken a few years, you know, of just consistently posting on a regular basis. And I make it a point to try and post between 3 to 5 times a week outside of our Sunday mornings and our Wednesday nights. Sometimes I hit that, sometimes I don't, but that's my basic goal. That's my intention, is to try to do that. And not that you have to do that much, but if you're going to do a podcast, you do have to do one somewhat consistently if you're going to get people continuing to want to listen to what you have to say. If it doesn't seem like you're putting a lot into it, a lot of time, or you're not posting regularly, then generally people aren't going to be very interested. So you want to make sure that you're at least posting somewhat consistently. But is a podcast the best way to do it? I wouldn't say so. I mean, I don't have the benefit of getting to meet most of the people that listen to this. And so while I'm thankful for the reach, I'm much more personally, and this is just a personal thing, I much more personally enjoy the interactions on a face-to-face, interpersonal level. I like having the conversations with people. Not that everybody comes to Christ every time we talk, but I like to talk to people in person or in a setting where we're actually there, because it gives us a chance to interact. It's not just me talking like this, but rather it's a chance to interact. And this way you can hear the concerns and questions and musings that's going on in their minds, and you can begin to speak to those things. You can even pray with people sometimes. You can share the gospel with them and address the objections that they might have or the difficulties they might have. I think that's a great thing. So I would say probably the best way to share the gospel is to just make yourself available to people in whatever way you can. Go out to coffee with people, spend time after work talking to people, go to places where, you know, with friends and have conversations about the Lord in an open setting, at a table at a restaurant or something, or at a park bench in the forest preserve or whatever places people hang out. And just make yourself available, and don't be shy if somebody says, what are you guys talking about? And have a little animosity about it. Try and, you know, diffuse the situation, but give it opportunity for the Lord to use it. Another thing you can do, that's my personal favorite thing, is just when there's personal engagement. But another thing you can do is you can just get on social media in general. You can use your Facebook page to post scripture passages. Remember, at the end of the day, it's God's word that doesn't return void, but it accomplishes that which he sets it forth to do. And so you want to make sure that if you're going to be on social media and you want to share the gospel, share a lot of scripture, gospel-related scripture. Share brief testimonies about the gospel. I've seen people post on Facebook like just paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. I don't know who's got time to read long paragraphs on Facebook when you're flipping through things. Maybe some do, I don't know. But I find myself having a hard time to read through someone giving a long post on Facebook. But on the other hand, I can read a scripture verse. I can read a brief, you know, 3-4 sentence thing. I can do a couple things like that. But that being said, social media, because it's out there, can be a force for good or a force for evil. And I think it's a good thing to use it when you can to put the scripture out there and to share the gospel. I think these are basic, easy things that anybody can do. And so there's nothing terribly profound about anything that I just shared, but I just think that, you know, rather than thinking, it's a lot like ministry. I am a pastor and I pastor a church, which means that I get to have the privilege of spending the bulk of my time serving a body of people locally. And I get to minister with them and to them. I get to teach the word of God and that kind of thing. That's a privilege beyond anything I could even begin to express my gratitude for, both to the Lord and to the people that, that come and are supportive of our fellowship and are part of the church family. But sometimes people think ministry means I've got to have a title or I've got to be on staff or something like that. You don't. Vocational ministry or the idea of serving the Lord as your career is one thing. Is that's how you provide for your family. That's one thing. But that's almost two different things that thankfully connect once in a while. But really, ministry is simply about making Christ known to people, sharing the gospel, serving people when they have needs, being there for them when they're hurting and praying with them. Those are providing food to people that need food, a cup of cold water, as it were. That's ministry, serving, the children, being a good example in the workplace. These are all things where ministry takes place, regardless of whether or not you've got any kind of a label or a title or anything like that. Most of the time, I don't ever even tell people I'm a pastor, because it's funny how people change their reactions and how they act, when they know you're a pastor. Suddenly they're scanning their previous conversations with you to make sure they didn't say anything really bad. But I would just simply say that think of ministry as your chance to serve the Lord in whatever context He gives you to do it in. Don't worry about having an official ministry. Don't worry about having a YouTube channel or having a social media presence under the auspices of a ministry name or something. If the Lord moves you that way and that happens over time, that's fine, but that's putting the cart before the horse in my mind. I think it's best just to be about the work of ministry and let the Lord go ahead then and build it into what He wants it to be, rather than having a predetermined idea of what it must look like. I've known people over the years that have really felt like they wanted to be some kind of a minister or another, and they sort of get all the apparatus in place, and they don't really get around, well, I wouldn't say they don't ever get around to ministry, but it seems like they almost need to have all that stuff in order to feel legitimized as a minister. It's a secular example, but years ago, Johnny Carson, if you watch Jimmy Fallon at all. I really don't watch Jimmy Fallon, but if you know Jimmy Fallon, he's doing The Tonight Show, which was originally done by Jack Parr, but later on was done by Johnny Carson for like 25 years. And at one point he was being interviewed. Johnny was being interviewed by somebody else. He didn't do a lot of interviews, but he's being interviewed by another late night talk show host. And he came out with this sort of this cardboard cutout of his desk. And he sat down at this on the stage there on the chair next to the host of the show, and he opened up this cardboard cutout thing of his desk, and he said, "I'll tell you, when after you've done this for a while, you realize this is like the only way you can talk to people." And I thought it was hilarious, but it's actually true, and it finds itself being true sometimes when it comes to people who are in ministry. They have to have a title, or they have to be seen a certain way or known as a certain kind of thing. I'll tell you the truth, it's kind of like being a comedian. If you have to tell people you're funny, but on the other hand, if you just are there and you just do what you do, then that's kind of a demonstration of just what you are. And if you're in ministry, that means you're serving and you're being used by the Lord in people's lives, whatever form that might take. So I wouldn't worry too much about, like, what formal thing do I have to have in order to do ministry. Just find a need and serve it. And that's doing ministry in Jesus' name. You know, serving in Christ's name is doing the work of the ministry. And so I would just say, those two things, I guess, if I had to wrap it up into a basic, succinct kind of a thing. First and foremost, know the gospel, believe the gospel, be able to share the gospel in a way that is meaningful and accurate and really, really, leaves people with the right understanding of grace and such. That would be first. And then second, just be available to share it. You know, whatever form that takes, whether you're at the grocery store or whether you're in a pulpit, whatever that means, whatever that looks like, just be available to the Lord that He might use you in whatever circumstance that He decides to set you in. Pray and just ask Him to use you in sharing the gospel, and He will. He will. There was years ago a guy named Eric Rieshopper. I've lost touch with his ministry over the years, but he used to come out to our church in Illinois every now and then and do a presentation on how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. And he had this wonderful thing that over the years had grown into a really neat ministry with some great resources and that kind of thing. But I remember him saying, you know, as sort of a prayer exercise, pray to the Lord and just make it your habit to pray that the Lord would bring Jehovah's Witnesses to your door, and lo and behold, they'll start showing up. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody who went to that thing at our church was praying for it, and we couldn't tell you that many stories people would tell of. They, sure enough, like Tuesday morning, somebody came knocking at the door or something like that. You know, it just became a regular thing. We should never doubt for a second that if we want to make ourselves available to the Lord and we ask Him to use us, that He will. He will. So I guess I'll just leave it there. Know the gospel, believe it, and be able to share it effectively. Secondly, pray and ask God to use you. Lord, put me in whatever situation you want to use me in, no matter how easy or difficult, just put me in a place where I can be used by you to serve you and minister the gospel to people, and then just be available. Just be available. That sounds awfully simple, but you don't have to complicate it more than that. Again, don't get wrapped up in some of the trappings around ministry. Just simply be a minister and just watch what God does. So there you go. Hopefully that gives some help and some things to chew on and pray about. So let's pray. Let's ask Him to use us right now. Father, we just want to thank You that Your desire is to make Yourself known and to that people would come to know Jesus, even as Jesus Himself said, to do the work of the Father is to believe on the One whom He sent. And so we just pray that You'd help us to be able to help people come into that place where they hear the gospel, where they understand it. Maybe their questions and objections get addressed and answered in a way that the Holy Spirit uses to ultimately bring them around to salvation. And so we pray, Lord, for those that You're going to bring across our paths, that we would be able to serve them and be faithful witnesses and give a good testimony of Your grace to them as we share the gospel. We pray that You'd help us to know the gospel and to know it well and not to fall into the trapping of sort of making it a works-based thing, but rather instead to make sure that we understand grace and experience and know that grace, both personally as well as theologically, in our own lives. And then we'd be able to share that which we ourselves have received from You. So thank You for this. And we just pray that You prepare us, even as You're preparing those that we're going to encounter. I pray that we wouldn't get wrapped up in the trappings of official-sounding ministry titles or any of those kinds of things. Father, You do what You want with our lives, and whether a title is ever ascribed to that is Your business and not ours. And so we just pray that, Lord, You would make Your name great and spend no time whatsoever giving us any room to try and make our own names great, but rather instead help us to always have that priority, like John the Baptist, where we would decrease, but Jesus would increase. So thank You, Lord. We love You and we praise You. We thank You that You would use us. Lord, You can make the stones cry out and bring You worship. You can make the trees clap their hands. You can make a donkey give direction to a prophet. We know that You can do anything You desire to do and with any resource that You have at Your disposal, and You have infinite resources at Your disposal. Why You choose to use us, I have no idea. Certainly angels could do a better job, but You decide to use us. So help us to simply be thankful that for some reason You've counted us worthy to call us into the ministry. And we pray that we would serve You faithfully and seek that You would be glorified through that service and ultimately through the saving of souls. So we love You and thank You, and thank You again for the good news of the gospel by which we are saved. So we praise You and bless You. in Jesus' name.